Welcome back to the University of Life, and today we're going to be discussing one of the most damaging things you can do with your brain, and a really simple, easy, comfortable way that you can correct it. And you may be familiar with the topic already, but I bet you're not familiar with this solution, which is so easy and effective and all around good. I'm Sean Roundy, and this comes from two chapters of my book, Heal Your Emotions, A Practical Guide to Speaking Your Brain's Languages and Turning Pain into Power. It's got 12 chapters with average probably 35 subchapters, and the ones I'm going to read you today are 7.43 and 7.44. And the chapter title of 7.43 is Shout Your Shame. One of the most intense and damaging types of fear is shame. Shame means that on some level, you fear that if people knew some particular thing about you, then they would abandon you, which is a very real fear for the subconscious mind. Shame is rarely defeated by talking yourself out of it, defending yourself against its relentless accusations, which requires playing the game on shame's turf where it has the home court advantage. Instead, conquer shame by transcending, by rising above and denying that shameful thoughts and feelings have any validity in the first place. Just like other fears, shame can be relatively easy to address. You may start as small and safely as you like on the following continuum and proceed only as far as you wish. Repeat each step until it grows comfortable before moving on. 1. Once you've identified your source of shame, imagine confessing it out loud while driving alone in your car or anywhere else no one can hear you. Do this until you feel comfortable. 2. Once it's easy to imagine expressing your shame to no one, do it. Turn up the music and whisper it under your breath if necessary, then say it louder and louder until you can shout it without feeling ashamed. 3. Imagine revealing your shame to a trusted friend. Imagine them responding very supportively, such as laughing it off as no big deal and giving you a warm hug, assuring you that they will love you forever, no matter what. 4. Imagine revealing your shame to increasingly large groups of people who all respond positively until you're shouting it with a megaphone to the entire world. Your secret is now totally out, and you have nothing left to hide. 5. Note that this technique works best when you're not in the middle of a shame spiral to more easily experience and blend positive feelings with it. 6. Actually tell your shame to the people who you trust. Give them a chance to respond positively and prove that it's not as big a deal as you imagined. 7. We don't necessarily recommend shouting your shame to the entire world, not because it's not perfectly normal and okay to have flaws, but because the world is sometimes an insecure, emotionally reactive, stupid jerk who should not be trusted with sensitive information. 8. But hey, if you feel that confident and have truly reached the point where you don't care what anybody thinks of you and you want to go for it, then bravo! Stand up, speak up, and enjoy your empowerment. People may admire your honesty and courage and realize that they too are worthy of love despite imperfections. What you will steadily recognize as you progress through these steps is that nobody really cares about your faults, and they're not as big of a deal as your subconscious mind led you to believe, and that most people are more worried about their own acceptance than whether you're as flawed as everybody else. Furthermore, anybody who can't get over your flaws doesn't really count, because that's not really about you. It's about them and their mentality. If only they loved themselves more, they would also find it easy to forgive you and overlook your faults. So this chapter, I noted, it does have some references to previous chapters, like it mentioned blending with positives. One of the things explained early in the book is if you ever go in and find your negative feelings and use the various techniques in this book to help to expand and release those. Always be sure to have, in your other hand, positive feelings, and you want to blend those together. It's much more effective and much more comfortable and quick. And now here's chapter 7.44, Candor, And this is a story which illustrates that point. Every main chapter of the, at least 11 of the 12 chapters, has two chapters like this with ongoing characters. So in previous chapters, you met Brittany and Brian and their actors at a local playhouse. What do you like best about Daphne? Brittany asked as she and Brian strolled through the park after rehearsal one afternoon. Daphne was her new role, an irreverent, ruined party girl who nearly destroys the lives of everyone who loves her. I like her audacity, Brian answered. She does whatever she wants, whenever she wants, to whoever she wants, and she never even considers offering any apologies. I actually envy her. I wish I could be that free, though of course I wouldn't abuse my power the way she does. Brittany replied, considering his answer. She was having a little trouble getting into character and hoped to find some angle to help her understand the role more deeply. I don't think I could live with myself if I did half the stuff she does. What about you? Brian asked. What do you like about Tony? He's such a sucker, Brittany replied with a laugh. He's so totally head over heels in love with me that I can get away with whatever I want. Yes, Brian agreed, and that's exactly why love redeems you in the end, almost. What do you mean, almost? Brittany objected. I'm totally redeemed. I return the diamonds and everything. Yeah, but you're still a selfish jerk, Brian explained. You just have no reason to treat me poorly anymore. It would take a lot more love to heal that. That's probably true, Brittany nodded. They walked along in silence for a ways. Then Brittany blurted out, Help me, Brian. I don't understand her. How can I play her right if I can't stand her? Brian smiled at her, and they paused on the path. I think I know exactly what you need, he said. Come here. He took Brittany by the hand and led her onto the grass and up a small hill that provided a view of the park. From there, they could see the pond, the soccer field, and dozens of people walking or sitting in the sun. Okay, he instructed. Tell me what you hate most about Daphne. She's selfish, Brittany accused, and heartless and mean. Okay, good, Brian nodded. Now tell them. He pointed to the people around them in the park. What? Tell them. Tell them who you are, Daphne. And remember, you couldn't care less what they think of you. Brittany grinned and nodded. Not only would this help her get into character, but it would be fun to witness everyone's reaction. She launched straight into the exercise with all the heart she could muster. I am a selfish biatch, she shouted at the top of her lungs. Several faces whirled about to stare at the girl on the hill. I am mean. I don't care about anybody except myself, and I feel no remorse. More faces turned her way, and Brian and Brittany laughed so hard that they could hardly stand. As soon as she regained her composure enough to speak again, she continued, I'm a terrible kisser and a horrible singer. I think I'm perfect, but I take myself too seriously, and I'm way too dramatic at everything I do. Brian then joined in as Tony. But I don't care, he shouted. I have no self-worth, so I am blind to all her faults. I let her treat me like garbage, and I nearly pay for it with my life. Brittany took a deep breath and was just about to start shouting again when a voice from across the park shouted back. I cheat on my taxes, a man yelled. I let my dog poop on my neighbor's lawn, and I vote Republican. That was too much. Brittany and Brian both collapsed on the lawn, laughing so hard that tears streamed from their eyes. Most people ignored them by now, though a few looked amused or mildly embarrassed for them. Now, I hope you will really actually put this technique to use. For a quick review, think of something that you don't want other people to know, that you're even a little bit ashamed of, or if you can't think of something like that, just think of something that you wouldn't feel comfortable saying out loud and speaking up, even if it's something totally innocuous. Like, just imagine yourself standing up in front of a group and saying, good morning, everybody, or whatever it is. And one reason I want you to do this is because the world needs it so much these days. And the reason why is because the world has become so critical, right? There's trolls and critics and social justice warriors everywhere attacking and stuff. And let me tell you two or three reasons why they do this to put them in perspective. Number one, a lot of people do it because they lack any impulse control and they've got some negative feelings, maybe some shame of their own. And unconsciously, they believe that if they can take those negative feelings and attack someone else with them, then the technical word for this is discharging. They think they can discharge those emotions, put them on someone else, and find peace and relief. That does not work, obviously. It just makes the whole world worse, and what comes around goes around, and there's a lot of that going around, and so most people suffer some from that. A second reason is that they just lack critical thinking skills, or at least they don't have enough of them. And so when they hear some opinion which doesn't perfectly match with their own, then they react and say, no, that's bad. I'm going to tell you a quick story to illustrate. We were on a rescue one day, my search and rescue team. There was a motorcycle guy, a rider, who crashed in the mountains. And it was kind of on a steep hillside where the trail did a switchback. And we arrived, and then one of the local ambulance, city ambulances, was there as well. And so they were in charge of medical at this point on this one. And so the main, you know, whoever their team leader was kind of in charge. And one of our people saw this motorcycle and saw that as soon as we lift it and extricate, you know, the person who was the injured, our patient who was partly underneath it, that motorcycle could slide and further complicate everything. So she said, hey, I'm going to tie off this motorcycle so it doesn't slide. And now this other guy who just, you know, he just didn't have full-blown leadership skills yet, fully developed. And because that wasn't in his little narrow focused world of thinking, okay, we're going to extract this person, we're going to splint this leg, we're going to check vitals, do all those things, he just shut her down and he said no and just kind of turned her off. And when in reality he should have said go ahead, it doesn't hurt anybody. But that's kind of an example of these limited critical thinking skills and people having their little narrow focus and not really being willing to take the time to consider new information and integrate it, and or even allow you to have your opinion while they have theirs. That's perfectly fine. And the third reason I'll mention why people often criticize and shut you down is, and again, it's not something they're usually intentionally doing. It's just, this is the culture they've been bred into. This is what's going on. And so bandwagon effect and everything, just people do it, is that people have opinions and they want to militantly control everyone else's thoughts and make them match. And if they don't, it's cancel culture, it's shut you down, it's shame you and control, as if by controlling other people's thoughts and feelings, we can make the world good. Well, we can't. By controlling people, you've seen movies where like robots take over the world or something. What does humanity always do? It revolts. We must have freedom. So if you want to persuade, if you want to get people on your side, you really have to do it by persuasion. Because if you do it by control, then you're just becoming like North Korea and creating all kinds of mental illness and stuff like that. So don't do that. And one of the best ways you can do it, here we come full circle, is to heal your own shame so that when people attack you, you don't take it personally because you've established your foundation of, no, I'm okay. I'm not afraid of you. I don't care what you think. I mean, I don't worry about it at least. And so I'm not going to react and be cowed and shunned by you. And I'm not going to shut myself down and shove myself into a tiny safe box in a world which needs people to stand up and speak out with a little more love and sanity. So there is my rant. I would love to fill the world with people without shame. And some of those people I'm going to disagree with, even on important topics, but that's life, you know, that's humanity. And I can accept that. And as long as we can treat each other with respect, then we can come to the best solutions we can for everybody. So thanks for listening to this long University of Life rant instructions. Please put that to use. Don't be ashamed. I'll just tell you, like, I don't even know you specifically, but I know you're lovable because I've known a lot of people, and even some of the biggest jerks, if I look closely enough, you know what? I can find things in them worth loving. And that's the kind of person I want to be. That's the world I want to live in. And so thanks for joining me on that effort. We'll see you next time here at youtube.com/uofLife or uofLife.com or facebook.com/uofLife. And we'll continue this exciting, problematic, challenging, interesting, engaging journey through life together. See you next time. Until then, continue becoming your best self and living your best life.